This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. This is Carol Foster, and I would like to introduce our guest teacher, Pastor Bruce Dowell. He's going to be teaching on generational curses. You can download his notes at sectim.org. Pastor Dowell?
So we can change the spiritual DNA. We need to become this brand new creature, and we do that by being grafted into his bloodline. In C, the next opportunity we have is we can reverse the curse. We can reverse the curse that has come down and landed on us, and we can change the course of the curse that is heading for our children and their children. Okay? Now how do we do this? I want you to turn to Proverbs 26. I'm going to read it from two translations. Proverbs chapter 26. I'm going to read first from the Complete Jewish Bible. And then I'm going to read it from the Amplified. 26:2 says this: "Like a fluttering sparrow or a flying sparrow, an undeserved curse will come home to roost." The Amplified says it this way: "Like the sparrow in her wandering, like the sparrow in her flying, so the causeless curse will not alight." Okay? Now, I want to talk about curses for a moment because they're very misunderstood. How many know you can't just get the Holy Spirit walking down the street? How many know that? You don't just get saved walking down the street. Everybody aware of, you have to invite the Lord into your life. Is that correct? Well, let me tell you, you don't get demons just walking down the street either. You got to invite them in. You don't just get them. We just read that a curse will not alight on you unless there's cause. I'm telling you, I'm confident of my faith. You can speak any curse you want to speak over me. It won't sit. Because I keep myself right with God on a very exact daily basis. So I'm not all paranoid about the boogeyman. Who cares? We get all spooky about this stuff. It makes me crazy.
You got to understand there's a spirit realm, but we don't have to get weird about it.
Does that make sense?
Now I want to talk to you here for a moment about migrations, because you're going to see something in the migrations and the natural. Remember we talked last week, first comes the natural and then the spiritual. So we learn some things about migration. We all know that whales migrate from Mexico to Alaska and back again. And that's a pretty phenomenal thing. But did you know lobsters, the spiny lobster, makes an astounding migration every year. Individual lobsters join in large numbers with others, and they march single file across the ocean floor. That's pretty weird, isn't it? Turtles. Every year, thousands of female green turtles swim more than 1,000 miles to the south, to the coast of Brazil, from the coast of Brazil to the tiny Ascension Island in the South Atlantic Ocean. There they haul themselves onto the sandy beaches, scrape out shallow nests, and deposit their eggs. Then they swim back to Brazil. Seems like they could have stayed where they were and laid their eggs. Would have been a heck of a lot easier. Freshwater eels spend most of their lives in North America and Great Britain in the lakes and the rivers, but to reproduce, they swim from each side of the Atlantic Ocean to the area of the Sargasso Sea between Bermuda and Puerto Rico. Most the land barriers are no problem. They just slither overland through the dewy grass. After breeding, they return to their freshwater homes. We're starting to see a pattern here. The monarch butterfly is known for its extraordinarily long migrations. Monarchs that live east of the Rocky Mountains, how do they know if they live east? Monarchs that live east of the Rocky Mountains fly to central Mexico, and those that live west of the Rockies migrate to the California coast. The longest recorded flight for a monarch butterfly is 1,800 miles. Plovers, which are shore birds, the American golden plover travels about 8,000 miles from nesting areas in the Arctic to the southern tip of South America. One of the longest migrations known. The trip includes about 2,000 miles over open ocean. And the salmon, I didn't know this. Juvenile salmon memorize the odor of the stream in which they're born. Years later, they use this knowledge to navigate from the ocean back to the mouth of their home river, swim up the river based on the distinctive odor. Now, I've read all these to you because I want to point something out. We read in the Word, like the sparrow in her wandering, the sparrow in her flying, so the causeless curse does not alight. I want to tell you something. A curse knows where it's going. And it knows how to get them. So when I transgress the Word of God, the curse knows that it can go down to my children and my grandchildren, to the third and the fourth generation. How does it know that? God spoke it. How do these birds and these lobsters and these turtles know where they're going? God put it inside them to know it. This curse doesn't just wander around. It knows where it's headed. And it intentionally goes to the place that it's invited, the place that has made room for it. Now, I just shared that we have the power to reverse this curse. I want you to turn to Proverbs 6. Even though these curses have come down the pike and they've landed on our lives, many of us. Well, let me clarify that. Not many of us. That's all of us. Just in case anybody had any doubts, I'm going to just pull you right into the crowd today and say, you have generational curses, I promise you. It's as simple as that. So you can choose to live with them for the rest of your life and let them continue to pass down the family line, or you can choose to be a bold pioneer and break them right here and now. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 30, it says, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But if he's found out, he must restore 7 times what he stole. For he must give the whole substance of his house, if necessary, to meet his fine. Kathleen and I, we believe the Word of God, and so we stand on all the Scriptures. And this particular Scripture we have stood on in the past. We were ripped off once for $4,000. We stood on this Scripture, and $28,000 came back into our hands. We said, Lord, your Word says 7 times. We got $28,000 back. This was not a lawsuit either. We don't sue people. This was God backing His Word. Because I believe the Word of God. If it says you catch the thief, you can demand back 7 times what he's taken. Now, if we're starting to look at what the generational curses have stolen from you, there may be a sizable figure involved here. Not just monetary, but in many ways. You can boo-hoo this, but I'm telling you, this is what the Word of God says. I'm telling you, I've stood on it, and I've seen it happen. You can do whatever you want, but as for me and my family, we will just follow the Word of God, thank you very much. Amen? All right. So these are some tremendous spiritual opportunities set before us. Now, Roman numeral 3, let's talk about the law of the easement.
The easement,
if any of you have purchased real estate or you're into real estate or whatever, you understand what an easement is. If you don't understand what an easement is, let me define it from Webster. An easement is a law, right, or a privilege that a person may have in another's land. What have we been talking about today? The land. Okay? It's a right of way. Now, let me illustrate how this happens, how this takes place. And I want you to draw this illustration on the back of your paper here, possible areas for generational curses. Because I want you to get a hold of how this principle works. An easement is a legal means for a person that has been given right to live on property to be able to have access in and out of their property. They have legal access. Now, let me share something about spiritual laws. This is not only a natural law, this is a spiritual law. The spiritual law is this. If we transgress, that sin will be passed down to the children of the third and the fourth generation. Okay? That becomes an easement for demonic activity. It's a legal right to be there. One of the interesting things with the Lord is this. He's broken many natural laws for believers. He's walked on water, he's parted the sea, you know. He's turned time back. He's caused the earth to go turn backwards and rotate the wrong way. He's moved time back. He's done all of these things that are breaking of natural laws. God breaks natural laws. And we call those miracles. Right? We all believe that. The Word teaches us that. But not one time in the Word of God has God ever broken a spiritual law. He doesn't even break spiritual laws for His own people. Spiritual laws are enforced, never tampered with, never broken. They affect everybody, whether you believe or don't believe. It doesn't matter. A spiritual law is, it is written. Okay? And so what I want to show you here is how this thing operates. We're going to start here by drawing this road at the bottom. And we're going to call this the road of life. We're all on this. If you're here today breathing, you're on the road of life. Correct? Make sense? The road of life. We're going to view this purchase of a piece of property as our life. Okay? So we're going down this road one day, or we get born, whichever, and we see this piece of property, and we decide we want to buy it. We want to get it. We want to purchase it. We want to own it. This is my life. Okay? And we're really happy with this property, because it's got some really nice trees on it. Draw these trees, because these trees are important. Okay, so we have a couple stands of nice trees here on either side. Okay, and when we buy this property, we decide, you know, it's a pretty big piece of property, so we want to leave our children a sweet inheritance. How many of you want to leave your children a natural inheritance and a spiritual inheritance? Okay? So, what we do is we divide the land off, we build a little fence right here. Okay? This is a fence post, by the way. A little piece of property, and our section is section A, and their section is section B. Okay? And we're going to give them that portion later on. That's what they're going to inherit. Okay? Now, we decide to build our house right here between these two stands of trees. Looks like a good place, right? We build our house. When you build a house on the back side of the property, what do you need? You need access. So we build access down to the road. I misspelled this last night, so access. Can't get to your house if you don't have access, right? Okay. So we build this access. After we've been living here for a while, we notice up in this stand of trees, we've got a squatter. Remember last week I said, have you ever said, where did that come from? Remember we talked about that? You just go through your life and all of a sudden something comes out of your mouth or some thought comes into your head and you go, wow, where did that come from? Wow, where did this come from? Well, what happened is my parents transgressed. My grandparents transgressed. And they kind of sent this guy ahead. This curse, this iniquity. It doesn't get to squaw here. It doesn't get to light here unless it has legal reason. Well, they gave it legal reason. They sinned against the Lord. So this thing goes ahead, waiting for me to come along and buy this land. Now he has access right here. And of course, right down here to the road of life. He has to have access because he was given legal right to be here. Everybody with me? All right. Now, I am living in this property, and have I transgressed the law of the Lord? Yeah. Of course I have. I can't count how many times I've transgressed. If you want to know the truth, in 30 years, hundreds of thousands of times, I'm sure of it. That's like leaving your front door open every night, hundreds of thousands of times. Up where I live, something surely would have come in. And where you live, in San Bernardino area, I know something would have come in. So what happened? I've now given this guy legal access into this parcel that's going to go to my children. 100,000 times I've given access permission. Yeah, go ahead. What do I care? Well, I'm starting to care. And then he has access to life. My kids are going to come along and they're going to build their house right here. Thinking everything's good. And they're going to wake up one day and they're going to find a squatter right here. I sent him that. He got there before my kids got there. Okay? That's how it works in the wonderful world of art. Now, in case you are wondering whether that's scriptural or not, I'm about to show you that it is. Okay? You know how I do these things. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10. You know, I wish I'd known this stuff back when. I wish I'd known this stuff when I was getting ready to get married or something, or earlier. Look what Rabbi Shaul writes in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For although we do live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way. Because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have God's power for demolishing strongholds. Is this a stronghold? You bet it is. Remember what we read last week from Romans chapter 7? Rabbi Shaul said of his stronghold, I do the things that I don't want to do. This is what makes you do that. A generational curse makes you bow down and worship it. Anybody got things going on in their lives that seems to be out of control? You just can't get a handle on it? It just seems to control your life? We call that typically in the church besetting sin. But let's look at it for a moment as generational curses. He goes on and he writes here, On the contrary, we have God's power for demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and make it obey Messiah. And when we have become completely obedient to... Thank you. There's nothing else to be obedient to for a believer. Just God's instruction. Just the Torah. That's all we have. There's nothing else. So, and when we become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. So if we're going to get the slaughter out, we've got to start obeying Torah. Being obedient to it. Alright? Does that make sense? In letter A, this is how we demolish strongholds and arguments. Is standing on the Word of God. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. When the Word of God says something, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. I don't think God really cares how you feel about it. He never asked me how I felt about it. He said, this is my Word. Do it or don't. Choose for yourself this day who you're going to serve. And I would choose. Some days I chose for Him. And some days I chose for myself. Is that the reality that we're all dealing with? Of course it is. Let's be real here. Whatever you do, don't be a pious, overly spiritual Christian that's got their head in the clouds somewhere. You and I are sinners saved by grace. We weren't sinners. We're still sinners. When you got saved, you didn't become a non-sinner. Did you? Did anybody become a non-sinner? No, you're still a sinner saved by grace. What does that mean? That means we're still sinning. We're still breaking God's commandments, God's laws. We've got to get a handle on this. We've got to understand this. We've got to come to grips with this. So God doesn't care so much about what we think about His rules. I mean, when He says in Exodus 20, if you sin, Bruce, that's going to pass down to your children, to the third and the fourth generation. I don't particularly like that scripture. I'm not quite sure how fair that scripture really seems to me. In fact, if you want to know the truth, that scripture doesn't seem fair to me at all. Does it to you? But God didn't ask me. And God didn't ask you. God said, look, this is how it is. I'm just telling you. You sin, it goes down the line. Now, how do we break these arguments and these strongholds? By standing on the Word of God. When the Word of God says, this is what happens, then we have to know this is what's going to happen. If I sin, if I transgress, I'm building this access way right on over to my children's inheritance. And like I said, I've already done that 100,000 times, so this is a highway in my case. I've built a highway from here to here. That's the bottom line. So now I've gotten saved. Now I've learned the truth. The truth can set me free. Now I want to start erasing this guy, and these access roads. That's what we're learning. Because God's given us power to wipe out that stuff.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. It's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.